been on my heart. I didn't go tonight and say, okay, this is my one opportunity to talk to you guys. What do they need help with? That wasn't my goal at all. My goal here is just to share with you guys what God has been working in my heart with. And the first point tonight really hits home with me. Second and third, I hope, is a blessing to you. It's not any of less importance. It's just, it's all great. It's God's word. Anything from God's word is worth hearing. So tonight, just listen to God's word. You don't have to listen to me, but listen to what God has to say in his word. Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to start. Luke chapter 2. Tonight I was thinking, okay, I want to get a title for my message. I always enjoy kind of coming up with titles. I feel like that is one thing that I can do, and then God takes over the rest of the message. So I try to come up with a clever title. And tonight, all I could think of was Praising God This Christmas. But it's still a great title, Praising God This Christmas. And I was thinking, it kind of has to do with Thanksgiving, with Christmas, and with the New Year. Because of praising, that's Thanksgiving, giving God our praise, giving God our thanks. This Christmas, because it's almost Christmas, but also carrying it on into the new year. So as we go through this, remember that it's something past, present, and future that we need to, obviously our past is in the past, but present and future we need to be applying to our life. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at praising God this Christmas and how the Christmas story shows us how we can have praise in our life. Let's go ahead and pray, ask God for his wisdom tonight. God, we do thank you for a chance to look in your word. I pray that you would challenge all of our hearts tonight, including mine, as you did as I have gone through this passage. And we do thank you for your mercy to each one of us, your love, and for using us, God. And we do pray for your wisdom and your guidance tonight as we look through your word, that we could apply it, and that we would get some fruit tonight as we look at your word. In your name, amen. First point for us tonight, Mary's personal praise. Mary's personal praise. Luke chapter 2. We'll go ahead and start in Luke chapter 1. Obviously, you guys know this is the Christmas story, and it's a well-known, if not one of the most well-known in the world, chapters of the Bible, or stories in the Bible. Luke chapter 1, we'll start in verse 28. Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored of the Lord, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also will conceive a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. First of all, tonight, we're going to look at Mary's personal praise. Mary's personal praise. As we go through, I told you that point number one, we're going to dig into heavily tonight, Mary's personal praise, because I want to look at her life. I want to look at what led up to her personal praise. How at the end of her life, at this point in her life, could she look at God and say, thank you for who you are? And we look at this passage and we say, well, it doesn't really give us a background of her life at all. We don't really see where she was in the past. But we can look at one thing. Mary found favor with God. If Mary found favor with God, that tells us that she was living a life that glorified God. She was living a life that pleased God. She had a relationship with her God. Does God find favor with us? Today, can we sit here and say, honestly, God can find favor in me? Maybe it's something small where we say, well, if I got this right, I think God could find favor in my life. I think God could use me if I got this right. We also see that Mary had a "here am I" response. She said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." She was willing to be used. Mary's plans and wants were all willingly put on hold while she gave God complete control of her life. Get this story here. Mary's going through her life. She's not planning for this. All right? She's not going through her life, okay, the angel's coming tomorrow, so I better be ready for that, and then the next day the angel appears. No, she was scared. Wondered why the angel was here. She didn't know what was about to happen, which goes to tell me that she had a plan. You know, if she didn't have a plan in her life, she was obviously looking forward to something, as we all do. Each of us in our life, we're worried about, maybe, but planning about what's next. You know, after we go out of church, what are we going to do tonight? We have to have a plan, right? But we have to be flexible with those plans, obviously. Mary had a plan, and we don't know what it was. It could have been anything. It could have been she wanted to go travel and see some things. Or she had a boyfriend, Joseph, maybe, and she was planning on marrying him. We don't know what Mary's plans were, but we know that they weren't worth holding on to in order to disobey what God had called her to do. Mary had a plan, but she put it on hold in order to obey God's will. All of us tonight have a plan. I have a plan. I'm going back to college. I'm hopefully marrying Ashley. That's her name. If God says, "Tom, I'm going to put that on hold for a little bit, and I want you over here." I hope he doesn't. But you know what? If he did, would I be willing to say, "Okay, God, I'm putting you in control"? Guys, it's a privilege to be used by God. Guess what? He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. But he chooses and delights in using us. That's incredible. A God, in his mercy, chooses to use us. But guess what? He wants to find favor in you. He wants to use you, but he wants to find favor in you first. He wants a willing vessel. You know, Mary could have said, "I'm not ready for that." And let's go ahead and actually look at Mary's excuses. She was scared and maybe uncertain about what was ahead. But here's what I have for her excuses. None. She gave no excuse. You know, it's easy for us to give an excuse when we're asked to do something. For instance, when I was a kid growing up, maybe still now, if I'm at home, my mom will tell me to clean my room. And I'm sitting there, "Well, Mom, I can do that, but I'm really focused on what I'm doing here right now." You know, maybe it's something important. Maybe, "Mom, I'm doing this right now. I can go to that later." Or maybe it's pretty clean, I think. I don't need to do that. We give excuses for simple things in life. If anyone had to give an excuse, it would have been Mary here. "God, I don't even have someone to provide for me." But guess what? She understood something. God was going to provide. She could have said, "God, I'm too young. I don't even have a husband." You know, we think of people in the Bible, my mind goes to Moses. Moses was capable. Moses, man, he was a strong guy in the Lord, spiritually. Yet when he was asked to go save the Israelites, he gave an excuse. To which God replied, "What? I will take care of it." And he did. And so Moses went. You know, Moses couldn't, he didn't have to give an excuse. He didn't have to. He could have said, "Okay, God's going to provide. I'm going to do it, and God's going to provide." Mary never gave an excuse, but instead gave God total control. Because Mary recognized something. There is delight. There is joy in serving our God. Amen. God makes delight our duty and joy our command. Think about it. God asks us to do something, it's delight. It might be hard, but in the end, there's joy. Joy is God's command to us, nothing else. When he asks us to do something, at the end there's going to be joy. Sure, there's pain, there's heartache on the way sometimes, but ultimately there's joy in serving Jesus. Mary had a personal praise, but it didn't just come naturally. It came because she had a relationship with her God, and he found favor in that. Tonight, do we have a relationship with our God that he finds favor in? Not one that's okay, and we're getting by, and this one hit home on me. As I was studying today, I told Joe, I was like, man, I'm convicted by this today. Because my relationship with God could be better. But I've been saying it's good enough. It's good enough for me. But does God find favor in your relationship with him? Mary had a hear in my response. Are you holding on to something? You know, are you holding on to your plans when God has called you to do something else? It's a good question to ask. Has God called you to do something, but you're not willing to give up what you're holding on to? Guess what? Give your total control to God and let him see him work. See him take you places that you didn't know were possible. See him do things that you didn't know were possible because he is the God of the impossible. Let him control your life. Mary did, and we saw that she got to raise Jesus Christ as her son. God will bless you. God will give you joy as you serve him. God doesn't need you, but for some reason, he delights in using you. But as Mary did, we must give God control. We must put our plans and desires to the side and be willing to say, here am I. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Mary knew that knowing God brought joy. And Mary praised her God. Here's the point. Now, Mary's personal praise. If we want praise in this church, if we want a church that glorifies God, if we want a world that glorifies our God, if we want revival, it starts with you. It starts with me. It will never start unless someone starts it. So be the person that starts it. Mary's praise for her God. She's with Elizabeth now. God said to go to Elizabeth, or the angel said go to Elizabeth, because she's having a kid too. And so go to verse, 46, I believe. I lost my place here. 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. We see that she gets here with Elizabeth, and they don't say, oh man, I don't know if we're ready for this. What's our plan? What do we do? You know, let's get a plan set out so that we know what's coming up in our future. We don't see that. We see them getting together and praising God for what he's about to do. Not worrying about tomorrow, but praising God. They're both about to have a baby. You know, I've been with Emily and Joe, and they were about to have a baby, and they were trying to plan out everything. And you have to. You have to try to plan stuff out, but also remaining flexible to the will of God and what he's gonna provide for you. And in Joe and Em's case, they did. They said, all right, God's got complete control. They were smart, but they gave everything to God. There's a difference. There's a difference between being smart and giving God total control. And in this case, Mary and Elizabeth weren't trying to be smart and outmaneuver God. They were giving God control. We need to give God complete control over our life and praise him ahead of time for the outcome. A lot of times we get caught up in the, oh, God just did this for me. Let's praise him. No, God's about to do something for you. Praise him. Secondly, we've looked at Mary's personal praise. Mary's personal praise, but we're going to look at number two, the wise men's unified praise. All right, so we look at a personal praise. It starts with you, but now it's unified. The wise men's praise. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. Luke, unfortunately, doesn't record the wise men in as much detail as Matthew does. So we're going to turn to Matthew But everything, fortunately for us, is the word of the Lord. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. When they had heard the king, and they're talking to King Herod, they go through and King Herod tells them to come back and tell them where Jesus is. Well, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they had saw in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We see the wise men's response, and I think the wise men are a good symbolization of the church. We see the wise men coming, and these men they're rich men. All right, they are very wealthy. They're of high stature in the world that they lived in. And so they come to see the King of Kings, Jesus, as foretold. And they come and they see the star and they go in, and guess what they do? These rich men, these wealthy men, fell down and worshipped a baby because they knew that that was the Son of God. They were unified. Why I say that they're a symbolization of the church is because each of them traveled to a location where they worshiped God. Each traveling from afar for a purpose to worship the Lord. They were unified, get this, they were unified not because of their stature, not because of their riches, not because they were called wise men and probably rode camels. They were unified because of their goal. Their goal to see Jesus. We all travel here to hear the word of God and to worship him. Don't get caught up in the building. Don't get caught up in the building. The church is the fellowship of believers on the foundation of Christ. We should be unified as believers, not because of a building, not because I go to Eagle Heights Baptist Church. No, we're unified as believers because we should have one goal. Church is split today, not because, you know, it's a church and they weren't unified. Church is split because they don't have a single goal to worship Jesus Christ. You know, obviously there's times where things have to be worked out in a church. But there's also times where things need to be laid aside. And that differences need to be set aside for the goal, for the main purpose of serving our Jesus Christ. You know, we think of God and when he came to the world as a baby. It says that he had a goal to seek and to save that which were lost. I'm sure he had several differences with people, but it never became an issue for him seeking and saving that which was lost. Obviously, we can't save the lost, but we can seek after them, and we can be a unified body of believers. I think you guys know that obviously there are issues that come up and churches need to discuss. But a lot of times, I'm talking about those minor issues like, you know, Joe likes the Chargers and I like the Chiefs. You know, that could be a big friction in our brotherhood. But it's not if we have the same goal. It just becomes a topic. He likes the Chargers. I like the Chiefs. You know, a basketball illustration, because I love basketball. And I'm helping coach the girls' basketball team. If we sent the girls out there to play a basketball game, and they had talked to each other beforehand, they got to know each other, and I'm gonna name a few names here from the NBA. So some of you guys might not know them, some of you might, but there's this guy named Steph Curry, and he's really short. I won't say anything there, but he's really short, and he shoots a lot of threes, and a lot of people like him. There's another guy called LeBron James, and everyone calls him the king. And then there's other people, my personal favorite, Russell Westbrook, and he's just a monster in the game, people call him. What if the girls got together and they went to play a basketball game and we had our point guard come down the floor and go to pass and be like, oh, she likes Steph Curry. Well, I don't like Steph Curry. I'm going to pass to the person that likes LeBron James. No, she's hanging on to something very petty. And it's going to cost us the game. Because if we're playing with three people, we're playing against a lot harder opponent. It's three against five now. But guess what? In the spiritual realm, when we hang on to something petty and something that doesn't matter in the long run, we're now giving Satan the upper hand. Because it's not a whole church, it's not a whole fellowship of believers on Jesus' team. Unified. Sure, we're still fighting the devil, but we're stronger when we're together. God did not mean the Christian race to be run alone. We pick each other up. And when we see the wise men's unified praise, we see them coming together, laying aside their differences. I'm sure they talked if they traveled together. We don't even know if they traveled together. If they didn't, I'm sure they talked about a lot of stuff. That's a long journey. You know, they probably went, and they're very smart about stars, so I'm sure stars might have come up in the topic. We don't know if this happened. We're imagining here. But what if one of them said, you know, I think that star, I was doing a study, and I think it means this. And another one was like, no, that doesn't mean that. It means this. And I'm sure that could have caused some friction, and they would have been like, okay, well, you two can go by yourselves. I'm not going with you guys. Lay petty offenses aside. Forgive one another, and let's be unified as a church, as a fellowship of believers. All right, we spent a lot of time on that. We'll move on. Through all of our differences, the goal should remain the same. Through all of our differences, the goal should remain the same. Finally, the shepherd's praise abroad. This one's probably my favorite because it shows what God can do. All of them show what God can do, but this one shows what really God can do. If we're on fire for God, if we're praising God, and we're unified as a church. The shepherd's praise abroad. Back to Luke chapter 2. I'm having you flipping your Bibles a little bit. Luke chapter 2, verse 16. And they came with haste. Notice haste. They came fast. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. All right, so here we have probably my favorite group out of this, a bunch of shepherds, probably stinky and all sweaty from being out in the field, and they run in to see this child. And once they see it, they leave, right? They come all this way really fast, and they look at the baby, and then they leave. Because they saw the truth. The baby's here. Jesus is here. And they recognized their obligation. And that was to tell others about Jesus. And the shepherds ran off and told, hey, wake up. Jesus was just born. And because they told, people heard. This is going to amaze you guys, but people cannot hear unless you tell them. Same for me. They're not going to hear unless I go about Jesus. I love Ashley. I think I've said that three times since I've started. She's a big part of my life, and I love her. But I think she would think it's pretty weird if I went up to her and was like, hey, you know, I love you, but don't tell anybody else, okay? All right, it's our secret, all right? That'd be pretty weird, right? Yep. If I love that girl, I'm going to tell people she's mine. That's what I want to do when I propose to her. If she says yes, I'm putting a ring on her finger so that people know, hey, that girl's mine. Why do I tell people she's mine? Why do I tell you guys that I love her? Because I love her. It's something that I love. It's someone that I love. Anybody watch the Chiefs game today? Yeah. Several of you probably watched the Chiefs game today. Went into overtime. Great game. I immediately got on my phone in the fourth quarter and was like, hey, is anybody else watching this? Texting my brothers, texting my dad. Hey, you guys got to get on and watch this. I'm sure several of you probably talked about the game, or maybe something else. Maybe something happened today and you just had to tell somebody else. Why? Because you love football. Because you love whatever it was. You love the Chiefs. It's not a bad thing. But when it takes the place of God, when it takes the place of this book, it becomes a bad thing. It should be easy. It's easy for me to talk about Ashley, but when I get on the street and I see somebody that's a lot bigger than me, it's not as easy. Why? If I love this book so much, if I love him so much, why? Why is it not that easy? It's easy to make known the things we love. It should be easy to tell people, hey, this is my Savior. My brother and I have differences in football. We still love football. It's easy to talk to somebody that has a difference in football. Oh, you like the Eagles, Gabe? Well, I like the Chiefs. Oh, yeah? Well, tell me why you like the Eagles. Well, there you are. This is why I like the Chiefs. Right? It's still easy to talk. Even if he disagrees. Just because someone's going to disagree with you doesn't give you an excuse. Just because they're bigger than me doesn't give me an excuse to, oh, okay, we're going to go talk to somebody else. God's in control. And if you love him so much, tell him. Tell others about God. We looked at tonight, and I went over, so we're going to close. I'm not cutting out anything, I'm done. But Mary's personal praise, it starts with you. It starts with you. It starts with me. The wise men's unified praise. Once you start it, come to church. Keep it going. Fellowship. Fellowship with believers. Fellowship and unified praise. One goal. Have one goal. Finally, the shepherd's praise abroad. Guys, once we have a relationship with God that's personal, and we're on a personal praise level with God, where we praise him and he uses us, and we bring that into the fellowship of believers, where the believers that are fellowshipping with you are doing the same thing, and they're on fire for God, guess what? You're going to go out, and other people are going to start getting on fire for God. Other people are going to be affected by your relationship with him. It's easily caught. It's like a cold. It's easily caught. Once you start it, people are going to start too. That's my challenge for you guys tonight. Go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. Sorry, I don't say that often.